Hello, 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 friends. Welcome to the Book Drop Mic, brought to you by Ink Veins. We are, of course, your source for book publicity, promo, and press releases. This is Jason. How are you? So glad you are listening to this episode. Quick reminder before we get too far. Scar Dakota is now available for pre-order on Amazon. Excited about that. I cannot wait for you to discover this book this spring. And if you want to do me a huge favor, if you're on Goodreads, go to Goodreads and just mark it as want to read. It's really helpful for the Amazon algorithm, even if you never read the book. I mean, we won't be friends anymore, but at least you will have marked it as want to read, and Amazon will reward me in the algorithm. So I'd appreciate that. Also, if you happen to be on NetGalley, you can request a review copy right now, today, right now. Just pause the episode, request the copy, and I'll probably approve that request. You could actually read and review Scar Dakota today. All right. Confession. I'm a little bit geeked out by today's guest. I have been a fan of his work for a long time, and I believe that this is our first time actually meeting, if you call a Zoom meeting meeting. Today's guest has a brand new book out. Actually, it's out today. This episode is coming out the day that I record it, which I never do, but I'm excited to see that this book called Is God Disappointed in Me? It actually streets today, as we say in the book world. And by the way, Kurt Frankum, our guest today, that might be the best title for a nonfiction book I have ever seen in my life.
Well, thanks, Jason. Yeah, actually the title, it was one I've been working with a while. The subtitle is probably in your experience. It was a little tough, and as actually I was at Lake Powell standing in the water, and it came to me, removing shame from a gospel of grace. I'm like, that's it, we're going with it. And yeah. The editors liked it. So
yeah, no, it's the title and the subtitle in the nonfiction world are so unbelievably important. But that question, is God disappointed in me, in a fantastic cover, which of course folks can see on the show notes, is I think going to drive people to pick this thing up. If they're in a brick and mortar bookstore, and if not, if they're on Amazon, to maybe do the peek inside and look at it. Okay, so we'll talk about the book in a minute. First of all, Kurt Frankum, tell us a little bit about you and maybe kind of what led to this book.
Yeah, so I think most people know me or know my voice from the Leading Saints podcast, and I've been doing that since 2004, and it's all about topics related to leadership in the context of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So everything from how to run a meeting to how to motivate people to how to mentor someone through a struggle with pornography. We try and cover it all, and we've had some phenomenal discussions, and that's just been so fun. And through this, I've just, you know, talking with really smart people, this concept of shame keeps coming up as far as the individual experiences in the church, that the gospel is so redeeming, so full of hope and love, but nonetheless, people still feel this church hurt at times or this shame as they're navigating their journey as a Latter-day Saint. Even to the point where I see individuals who leave the church sort of in this expression of exhaustion, like, I just can't do it anymore. And I look at those and I think, like somewhere along the way, you swallowed some false doctrine there. I don't know where or when, but I also get it because, you know, we have the missionary work, the family history work, the, you know, temple work, whatever it is. It can feel exhausting to be a Latter-day Saint. And so I wanted to make an attempt to articulate this concept of how shame shows up in the Latter-day Saint experience and how we can root it out. And I did a variety of podcast episodes on it, the sort of monologue episodes, and they just shot up the charts as far as our analytics. And I thought, okay, something's here. And then was asked to do firesides around this topic. And I thought, all right, this is maybe a book that I need to put down on the pages and get out for, on a further reach. So
how long did it take you? It's one of my favorite things to ask a writer. Oh, how long did it take you from title page, you sit down, you say, here we go, to, and not counting all the time you spent noodling the idea over in your head in traffic on I-15, but from the day you sat down to write until you hit send or submit to a publisher and editor.
Yeah. Well, in the book, I talk about my 5-year-old son. Well, he's now 9. So for a good 4 years. And Jason, guys like you, I mean, you just don't get enough credit being in this business. I mean, the fact that you've done multiple books I'm just amazed at that. You don't realize the struggle of writing a book until you jump in and say, come what may, I'm going to finish this. And so, yeah, it was about 4 years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, I was talking to Emily Huey on the show earlier. She has a new book out called What Kept Playing. It's a illustrated children's picture book. And she talked about wrestling with, and it was a children's manuscript, but she talked about wrestling with that and kind of wrestling with the creative process for a while. And we kind of came to the agreement that I think readers appreciate that. And particularly, I think, with something like this, sensitive topics, some tough themes that you're going to tackle here. But I think readers will feel your investment, emotional, spiritual, and time, right? For your time investment in the project.
Yeah. I often say it's one thing to know the gospel or to believe the gospel. It's a whole nother thing to be able to articulate the gospel. And, you know, I hear there's authors out there, you know, more influencer types that hire ghostwriters to write books, but it was in the like wrestle with typing out the paragraph. I thought, you know, I don't know. Or have something read that and they get to say, you know, what about A, B, and C? I'm like, oh, that's a great point. I need to go back there, return to the wrestle and figure this out. And it was such a sanctifying process for me to learn as I'm writing and it was like the Spirit's teaching me as I'm trying to articulate these doctrines.
Gosh, it's such a cliche. The person that stands in the pulpit and says, oh, brothers and sisters, I'm so happy to be here to talk this Sabbath morning about prayer, repentance, whatever it is, right? And then we always say, or so often say, I think I learned more writing this than you'll learn by hearing today. But man, isn't that so often
true? It is. It's the way we're wired for some reason. And so whether you're scheduled to speak in sacrament meeting or you want to be an author, like sit with a concept and really try and articulate it, and you'll be amazed how you learn yourself.
Yeah. So as a quick side note, if you're listening to the show, I have a lot of listeners who are across the faith spectrum or who perhaps don't attend any church on Sunday or Saturday. And we love you too. And we're so glad that you're listening to the show. This is not necessarily a religious show, although many of my guests have shared my faith or are somewhere else on the Christian spectrum. But one of the things about leading saints that I think is really interesting, and Kurt, I don't know if you want to talk about this and go down this rabbit hole potentially, but you do not have to be a member of our faith to appreciate 90% of the content that you distribute to the world. Yes?
Right. No, absolutely. You can tune in and there may be some concepts or terms at times that you may need to do a quick Google search. But yeah, I mean, we stay as principle focused as possible. And I get that email all the time of, you know, people saying, you know, I appreciate your podcast, but I never really use these principles at church. But man, at work, I'm using them all the time. Like, great. You know, you're better off for it.
Yeah, well, being a leader in the gospel is being a leader in the gospel, and being a disciple is being a disciple, period. You know, no matter what is, no matter what name is on your church building. Okay, so another thing I love to ask authors is that elevator pitch question, because in this crowded marketplace where you and I were talking before we began about just all the books in your category on Amazon and the ranking and people up and down and all of the books on this topic, even just on this narrow topic, there's a lot. How do you stand out and how do you explain to somebody maybe listening right now, trying to decide, you know, am I going to give him my hard-earned dollars? How do you help them understand the why in 30 seconds?
The why of the book really is just for that exhausted disciple of Jesus Christ. If you're ever in that point of like, man, the more I engage, the more I just feel like I'm falling short. And that's why I went with the title of Is God Disappointed Me? It is a universal question that at some point or another, every individual has wondered, is God disappointed in me? Like, I know he loves me. And even from the earliest ages, we learned that. Yeah, I know he loves me. But is he disappointed in me? Is he just constantly frustrated about the mix-ups, the missteps I'm making? And this would be maybe a place to engage and hopefully you can find a new framing that's full of grace and hope.
Yeah. I just sitting here thinking of an experience when I've served in a church leadership calling a couple of years ago, and this someone who's a dear friend and a member for whom I had some stewardship was sitting down next to me and saying, "I think God might be done with me. Mm. I think he might have decided that he's finished. That there's, you know, not much left he can do." And I just had this vision of my friend as a piece of art as this the savior, as this artist, which he is, and this the ultimate creator of all things, and just imagining the savior of the world standing at this sculpture, or this painting, whatever this creation is, and going, you know what? I think I'm done. Like, I don't think I can do anything else with this one. So I'm just going to kind of slide this one down the shelf and I'm going to go on to some other project. I don't think that ever happens, Kurt.
No, not for a second. I mean, not only does it not happen, that thought doesn't even go through the mind of God. You know,
it doesn't even make that choice, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's no choice. Exactly. Right. And that's the beauty of grace. It is so enabling, so motivating when you feel that grace of as many times as it takes, we can do this. Let's just figure out. And there's such a long game happening here into the eternities that as many times as this takes, as many times you need to return to church, as many times you need to take sacrament, communion, whatever it is, like, let's just do this one more time and see what we can learn and figure out.
Yeah. One of my favorite church leaders, a guy named Mike Grohl, who I hope is listening. I know he's a fan of Leading Saints, so maybe he's jumped over here today. But I remember Mike teaching about the little wins in being a disciple. Look for the little win every day. What is that small thing? Okay, so you haven't opened your New Testament in 6 years. Okay, open it today and find a verse and read it. That's a little win. And then maybe tomorrow read another one and then another one and see how your life doesn't change by focusing on just kind of the little wins, i.e. miracles.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so what about young people, Kurt? What about, I have a lot of experience, and I know you do too, talking to young people about some of these themes. So how does a 14-year-old who might be listening right now or whose mom or dad might force them to listen later take the theme of the book and apply it? Or can they? Is this not for them?
Yeah, well, I definitely, you know, talk about my own story in the introduction of the book about being a young 16-year-old just struggling with the sins of mortality as a developing young man and the shame I felt, you know, having turned to my religious leader and seek help and thinking I was the only, you know, youth in the history of my congregation ever have to actually call the leader of my flock and seek help. I mean, just buried in shame, right? And a lot of parents listening to this, I mean, we can't number the tears that are shed for the youth in their lives, especially the younger adults that are their kids in their life. And it's just so heartbreaking. And so they want, you know, give me the 5-step plan. You know, what do I got to do? What program, what therapy, what do I need to do? And in the last two chapters of the book, I talk about this concept of grace for grace. Like in order for us to be able to give grace, which is so enabling, so redemptive, we have to be able to learn to receive grace from our maker. And so just to take a deep breath and realize like God has got them. Like again, as many times as it takes for them, you know, there's a celebration in heaven for the one sinner who repents and the 99, right? Just souls, as we learn in the Bible. And so it's going to happen for them. It may not happen maybe this year, but if you can learn to go through the sanctifying process of giving them grace and love and acceptance today, even if they never change, like that is such a paradox in the universe that when an individual, Carl Rogers says this, the curious paradox is that when I accept myself completely, just as I am, then I can change. And I think that's how God works, how Christ works, that if he can help us feel that acceptance right now, today, then suddenly we want to change. And so for those loved ones or the young people, like feel that acceptance, get to a place or find those people who offer that acceptance and consider the God that they worship. And maybe those individuals need to ask them, is that the God that I worship? Someone who is fully accepting today so that I can then change on his path.
Yeah. Yep. And the more you taste that love and acceptance, the more you're going to want it. It is that delicious. All right. Well, what's next? I mean, 4 years for this, what can we look for in another 4 years?
Well, I like I said, I love the process of writing. You know, I have a weekly newsletter I send out to the Leading Saints audience that causes me to sit down and really wrestle with an idea. And those are fun because sometimes I write one thing that I disagree with maybe 2 weeks later. But this is how I learn and grow. And so there's definitely more books in my future. Nothing specific, no specific manuscript I'm working on now, but a lot of these just come through the week-to-week grind of producing podcast episodes, interviewing really, really intelligent people and seeing what concepts I could learn to articulate and offer the world.
Well, I do sense that there is much, much, much more to come. And I say this often to listeners, if you want to do something kind today, go pick up the book. The momentum behind a book's release is just, it's so important. And so even if you don't think you're going to have time to read this thing today, that's okay. Buy it and stick it on your nightstand and get to it when you can. But if you think that this book is going to become a part of your life and on your shelf and in your reading material or on your device or your Kindle or your Audible account, whatever it is, try to experience that, make that purchase as soon as you can, because it's just so helpful from an author's and a publisher and a distributor standpoint to see early sales of a book, because it tends to kind of breed success. And this is a book that people need, they need in their lives. I'm excited to give this book as a gift. Not every author that I talk to, do I really feel like it's something giftable where I feel like this is going to kind of extend beyond my life, my choices, my preferences. But I think this is a book that I can see myself giving to a lot of people who have asked that question. That is such a powerful question. I think that's a good place to end. Is God disappointed in me? No, he's not. He's not. And if that's true for me, and if it's true for Kurt, then wherever you are, listening right now, in your car, at home, at work, on the treadmill, it doesn't matter. No matter where you are physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, no matter where you are in your journey, the answer to that question is no, he is not. Right, Kurt?
That's right. Don't believe it. It's he loves you completely and considers you beloved.
Yeah. Well, this has been terrific. Links to Kurt and the book and all the good things that he is doing in the world will be in the show notes. And some 4 years from now, we'll gather again and we'll talk about your second book.
I hope so.
Yeah, you're the best. Thank you.
Thanks.